The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
What is going on, people? Welcome to Throw Down Your Questions, episode 448. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
What's up, people? How's it going?
Carlos Romero.
Yo, yo, yo.
And Brian Majoma.
Wait, so you're telling me that Blue Beetle has flopped?
No. Oh, don't say it ain't so. Say it ain't so, you know? Comic books, man. I'm telling you, Pete. I think that fatigue is real now with the
movie. Superhero fatigue is real, man.
Yeah. But it's like also just bad movie fatigue. Like, I think once you get so many shitty superhero movies in a row, you're like, okay, I think we're good now, you know?
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, we don't know if this one was bad, but.
We don't. Actually, from what I heard, it was just okay, you know? But I think people are just like, whatever, you know? They're very indifferent to it. Go ahead,
buddy. All I know is that somewhere in the script, there's a line that says Batman is a fascist. So tells me all I need to know about the writing.
Here we go. Put a pin on that, Brian, because I got some comments about that after. I'm not going to say on air, so we'll talk about it after the fact. Mm-hmm. It didn't have enough tostones in it. Oh, what's up, Blogic Wins? So we don't know what's going on with Chris or Brett. We do know what's going on with Adam, but we don't really. Yeah. We're not going to talk about that right now.
I mean, it's public news.
Yeah, I guess we may as well. Yeah, if you want to.
I mean,
it is public news today. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it was on the news and everything. So for those of you who know New York City and Williamsburg, Brooklyn, there was a huge fire over there, and it. My aunt and Adam's mom lost her shop of her salon of 35, almost over 35 years over there. So it was this huge fire, 10 firefighter, a 5-alarm fire, 10 firefighters injured. It was just a huge blaze, took out like 10 stores or more, and hers at the end. So unfortunately, I'm sure that's part of is the reason why Adam is not here today. We don't know anything else about what if it was arson or if it was anything else. We just know that there's just crazy ass fire that happened. So, you know, thankfully, you know, my aunt is okay, and she showed us some pictures of what the state of the shop looks like right now, which is nothing. It's like literally all you can see to the opposite side of the building. It's just done. So we'll see what happens after this, but. You know, it's a big deal, you know, because our aunt had wanted to do, you know, own her own business for years, doing hair. You know, back when I was a kid, she used to cut my hair. She used to test on my head. So, and you know, on all of us in the family, and it's just sad to see all that work that she had done all over the years just come to all that. And her business lasted. Lasted through everything. It lasted, you know, for all those years, lasted during the pandemic where a lot of businesses were not even able to do anything. So, yeah, it's unfortunate.
Yeah, yeah. So, and thankfully, you know, Adam's mom is good, you know, and she's fine, but
yeah, still. She's doing good.
It's crazy shit.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you guys crazy know. Stuff. Yeah, sucks. Chris is here. Thank you for joining us. Always good. We just letting the people know what's going on with Adam's mom and stuff. Because again, it is public news. Man. So
yeah, it's public news. It's not like it's not like it's
There it is. Yeah. All right, man. So we're switching gears right now. Hard gears. Questions. I didn't really edit these, so if there's any fuck ups, it's your fault.
you did it.
Yeah. Like I could be like, oh, I'm sorry, guys. I didn't like. No, it's your fault. But I glanced at me. I don't think you guys did anything too crazy. I did try to put them in order though, at least because, for reasons not unknown, got a lot of Starfield shit tonight. First one, Jay Shep. All right. The highly anticipated and already my game of the year Starfield is finally among us, coming among us. They ain't here yet. I expect the game will be a success pending no major issues. Knowing that if Starfield fails, Microsoft will receive the blame. If Starfield is indeed a success, how much credit do you believe Microsoft will receive? Does Microsoft deserve any credit for its failure or success? This is something we talked about a few times. This is really seen as a Bethesda game more than a Microsoft game. So it'll all late be at the feet, in my opinion, it'll all be on the feet of Bethesda. I don't really, except for crazy fanboys, I don't think anyone's going to blame Microsoft this game's fuck up. They're going to blame Bethesda. The people don't see this as a Microsoft game. They see it as a Bethesda game, at least from what I've seen. So, and I don't really think they had anything creatively to do with it either, you know? So yeah,
I will say this.
Go ahead. They didn't.
It would be kind of partial to Microsoft, because at the end of the day, they're the ones that put their money on this company to make great games. And if they can't deliver with their best studio after the heels of Redfall, however people call
Redfail.
It, it's like damn, Microsoft, what a blunder of a purchase. If Bethesda cannot deliver on this game, it's all types of bad. So obviously Bethesda would take the brunt of the criticism, and as they should, because you know they started this game long before Microsoft acquired them. But Microsoft did end up acquiring them. They know what type of game they have, and they're releasing it as their flagship game for the year. So, you know, there's a percentage. There's definitely a percentage, but most of it will definitely be on Bethesda.
Yeah. Here's something interesting Logic Wins just said. Let me pull it up here. He said, the irony of the question is that we'll never know if Starfield succeeded or failed. Microsoft doesn't reveal sales numbers for their games, at least not in traditional sense. Like, they'll tell you it succeeded, or, you know, that's what we won't hear if it failed. We'll hear if it succeeded. But I see where he's coming from with that. Yeah.
The most important thing is it has to be a good game. If it's a good game, it succeeded. Financially, that's a different question. We'll see what happens with that. But I guess, you know, for us, the most important thing is that it's a good game.
Yeah, pretty much. Brett, since you joined us and you're Mr. Starfield, do you think Microsoft will get blamed if Starfield fails, or, and conversely, will they get praised if it succeeds?
Yes and no, in that order.
Okay, go ahead.
Microsoft's gonna get dogpiled no matter what they do. To be real, I mean, the game could be fucking fantastic, and there are people out there just gonna be like trying their hardest to dogpile on Microsoft because they don't want to see this game succeed. So whether or not this game does well or not, there's gonna be lots of people bitching.
Yeah. What do you think about my opinion that I don't think people see this as a Microsoft game? They see it as a Bethesda game, and it'll all come down to Bethesda in the end. No, outside of crazy fanboys, no one's gonna blame Microsoft for this or give them praise. They're gonna be like, Bethesda.
I think Microsoft is in they're in a rough place because the expectations are so high and there's so much riding on this that I don't know. I think if it does well, it'll be Microsoft got Bethesda. That's why they got the game is so good. But I think if the game does terribly, it's going to be, well, it's because Microsoft got Bethesda. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, again, I think the crazy fanboys will say that. I don't think reasonable people, because again, the game was already in development before the acquisition happened.
Yeah, but that's it's just the human nature of people. Like, if the game does really well, it's going to be because Bethesda's a hell of a game company, and you know, yeah, Microsoft got them, but it's not like Microsoft did a bunch of stuff to make Bethesda make a good game. So it's on Bethesda. But if the game's terrible, then it's, well, Microsoft acquired Bethesda, so I'm sure they did something to fuck up the Bethesda game.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I know what you mean. If the game's bad, that will probably happen because people are people. All right, we kind of answered this before, so we don't need to go over it too much. C. Iverson, what's going on, brother? That's my oldest nephew there. I have your question. I put it in the list, so we'll go over it later on. Moving on here, another one from Mr. J. Shep. Elden Ring released in February 2022 and rocked many gamers' worlds. I know it's still early, but have you guys noticed any ripple effects in the gaming industry and quality in games in an attempt to copy Elden Ring's success? yeah, too early. It's only been a year. If we're going to see anything, it's going to be like the next year or the year after that. Cause games take a long time to make, you know?
You'll see the repercussions of that later. Maybe the only thing you will see possibly is you might see some of that in the independent space, but it also depends on the size of the game. You know, like, you know, when those sort of Souls like came out after Dark Souls or Demon Souls and Bloodborne, then you started seeing not too far in indie space those sorts of type of games showing up, you know. But those games didn't take nearly as long as those from software games.
Yeah. You notice a lot of them were like 2D games too, which are obviously easier to make. It'll be hard to make a 2D Elden Ring considering
it's an open world game.
It's an open world game, exactly, yeah. So, you know,
we got this open world 2D game.
Like, what? Yeah, like, I guess the closest would be like Metroidvania games, maybe? I don't know.
They're open-ish.
Too early for that. All right, moving on. Mob Hits.
By the way, speaking of Mob Hits, shout out to Mob Hits. He gave us cheers.
Or cheers? All right.
Yeah,
here we go. I'm going to call it right now. Hits with the bits.
Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming you guys are talking about like directly inspired, like as in like being sold more games, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Not Jay. Your Jay people making it rain.
Make it rain. You know, good stuff.
Hey, wait. No.
Wait, man. Yeah, there you go. Got to do it right, you know. All right. Moving on here. Mob Hits. Speaking about Mob Hits. With many having codes sent out for Starfield already and playing it, have you noticed that no negative reactions have been leaked from playing it, unlike Redfall? Is this the first time we can say the hype train is real? If anyone gives their impressions of that game right now, they're breaking embargo. Embargo lifts August 31st. If you hear any commentary on the game right now, positive or negative, they're breaking embargo. So the reason you're not hearing anything is because people don't want to be cut off, you know, which would be a bad thing. So that's why you're not hearing anything, because motherfuckers can't break embargo, you know?
Redfall.
Yeah, the thing.
Yeah. Redfall came after the fact. They didn't break embargo. It was just a preview, you know?
Yeah.
So that's why you're not hearing it. Like, motherfuckers can't be breaking embargo. So wait until August 31st.
Yeah. And we'll see. To be honest, like, especially since Microsoft has so much, so many gaming studios, they cut you off. They may cut you all off.
Yeah. Well, those influencers say that, they're breaking embargo, and they should rightly be cut off, you know, for not playing by the fucking rules. I hate it when people break embargo, man. It pisses me off. I'm going on a rant right now. Because I'm over here playing by the rules, and then some fucking piece of shit decides, fuck it, I'm going to do this for clout, you know? Like a certain website, I will not name them right now, who had an exclusive on the Lenovo fucking handheld. Okay, bro. Really? Okay, I'll stop before I get mad. Anyway, Brett, go on.
I was gonna say there's also like this small space, like Redfall was so bad that it was felt through the very fabric of the Force itself, right? Like it was like if Tony were playing Redfall and Redfall were so bad that ancillary people to him, like me, heard about how bad it was and then kind of on the internet was like, I don't know, man, I'm not saying anything, but I heard Redfall, not that great. Like, even those kind of vague impressions rippled through the internet. And I don't even think it was a full leak, but I definitely think that you could tell with Redfall, it was so bad that it rippled through the internet in a very non-committal fashion. So we don't have that here, but I don't think that's telling. I just think that was special about Redfall.
Yeah.
It was so bad that, like, you could feel... It's like when you know a tsunami's coming because all of the tide is sucked out, you know? Like, you didn't see the tsunami. Nobody said tsunami's coming. It's just all of a sudden the water level dropped 12 feet and went, oh, no.
Yeah, I'll say this, though. I have heard stuff about Starfield already. Guess what? Even though I'm technically not under any embargo, I'm still going to adhere to it because I don't want to be cut off. I play by the rules. You know, you want to hear people's impressions? Wait until August 31st. That's it. You know, anyway, let's move on. Next question here. Another one from Mr. Mob Hits, right? Did Microsoft nail the marketing for Starfield? I don't know. I think they could have done it. What do you think? I don't know. I don't know how to answer this one.
No.
I just feel like I haven't heard about the game other than...
Maybe they haven't nailed it, you know?
No, seriously, like, come on. Like, compare what? That shit to Skyrim.
Skyrim was everywhere.
I remember that debut and shit. It was on some Game Awards. It was like, they had the fucking orchestra there and shit before the game even dropped. You're right.
Not just the quantity, man, but the quality. Like, I still go back to, like, you remember that song? You remember that song fading in? You remember how they announced that shit? Like, oh my God, that shit's going to stick with you forever. Does Starfield have anything even remotely equivalent? No.
All right, so I guess the answer is no, then. They haven't nailed it at all.
I mean, I don't know if they need to, and I don't know that they can. I think those are two big questions that, like, kind of need asked. Like, do you even need to in today's day and age? Like, is it the same? And is it possible? Like, fuck, man. Skyrim kind of... I can't think of, again, that song, like, how are you going to capture that lightning in a bottle again?
Yeah, but I figured they would at least go like Fallout level, you know? That was pretty big too, the marketing for that.
I feel like it's pretty close to Fallout level.
Yeah, but yeah, no, you're right. I think so. They haven't nailed it, I guess.
Yeah, man, they need to release a trailer with the ink spots, you know, Starfield trailer.
Yeah.
I don't want to.
Yeah, right. That's funny.
Yeah, I just feel like it's you know, whenever a huge game comes out, you'll catch, you know, some trailers on YouTube. You'll catch some trailers on some websites. You'll catch some trailers on TV if you still watch TV.
Yeah.
And I do kind of a little bit of all of those things, and I still haven't seen anything. So maybe it's just I'm not being targeted like some other people are. But yeah, it's
I've seen lots of ads. They're all in Spanish, though.
What?
For Starfield? 100% serious. I have seen a ton of ads, but they are all in Spanish. I do not know what is up with my YouTube algorithm.
Interesting.
It's always been like watching Telemundo. Like, I can tell what is going on. It's like the story about, like, this guy. I guess he's a space Mexican or something like that, because he's definitely Latino, right? Like, look wise, right? And he goes and he's like delivering packages. Like, I'm sorry, this shit just feels like almost insultingly stereotypical, but like he's delivering packages and he sees these two guys talking, and these two guys are like in like some sort of military outfit, and he like delivers a package and like sees a sign that's like, you know, the so-and-so needs you, and then it kind of like fades to him being in the army and like doing a bunch of stuff and like piloting the ship, and then like goes to him like being a in a higher place in this ship. Like, he looks now, and he looks like he's a fucking navigator. And the next thing you know, he's like in this fucking condo with a glass of scotch overlooking the docks while two guys are loading a ship. And like, he kind of looks wistfully off in the distance. And then there's just the scotch sitting on the balcony. And then he's in the ship and he's doing more Starfield stuff. Apparently, he just missed being behind the wheel. I can tell what's going on, but again, whole commercial in Spanish. So, I don't know. Pretty good commercial.
Brett, I say this with all due respect. That sounds like a Brett fever dream. I'm pretty sure it happened, but that literally sounds like something you would make up. You know what that also reminds me of? Remember that Mr. Plow commercial and shit? It was all this avant-garde stuff, you know, and then at the end, Mr. Plow. It's like, Homer, was that your commercial? I don't know.
Yeah.
It's hilarious. All this Mexican shit's going on. Yeah, El Starfield. Oh, man.
I'd love to hear if anybody else has seen this or like...
Yeah, I'm like, can you verify this? I mean, pretty sure it's on YouTube or whatever. Like, Starfield commercial. That's funny, man. Weird shit. I don't know. But yeah, they could have done better with the marketing. All right, moving on. What are we up to? Toon Medic, our boy, Mr. Michael Santiago. What's up, Throwdown fam? What's up, Michael? How you doing?
Yo.
Yeah. Michael was recently at the, I think it was, what is it, the Games Fest in Long Island they have, the Retro Game Fest, I think. Like, that dude, like, you know, his story is like, basically, you know, he had like, he had no gaming friends. Like, he was into gaming, no gaming friends. And then as soon as, like, you know, he kind of met me and Danny and stuff, he kind of just ingratiated himself in the gaming community. So he's always at events in New York, you know. So shout out to him, man. You know, giving back to the community.
Yep.
Okay, so
his question, the community.
To the community. The people. First question. For those who are going to be playing Starfield, what will your style be? Good, bad, focusing on ship space building, searching every planet, or just going for the main quests? Brett, I'm looking straight at you.
So there was
Space Pirate.
Oh no. So there was a single quote that got me 20% more excited about the game, I want to say. And it was simply, quote, don't
was it
get
Spanish?
Caught. No, it wasn't. It was a tweet. it was a quote, don't get caught with those harvested organs.
Oh,
so
shit.
There's my playthrough. It was like, dude, you can harvest organs? You can do some dark shit in this game, and I am about it. I'm going to murder entire crews. And then it's like, I was like, come back and be like, yeah, I got a ship for sale. And then I'm going to dock and just be like, there's like, how really the door's going to open up, just be like covered in blood. There'll just be like viscera. It'll be like 1980s anime and shit going on in the cap of this thing. And I'll be like, cool. So like 23,000 credits. Did we agree on that? It's going to be great. It's going to be great. I'm going to talk my way out of just so much absolute crazy bullshit. Just go in, murder everybody, and then like sell the ship and maybe their organs. Oh, it's going to be great.
What about you, Carlos? What's going to be your play style?
Just like pretty much every other Fallout or every other Bethesda game, I'll just do the mainline first. And I'll probably do the Paragon route or whatever the equivalent is for this. And yeah, just do all the main missions first explore whenever something intrigues me from just looking at like traversing the world. But I won't go out of my way unless like something catches my eye. But then afterwards, I'll probably go look at everything else that I can do. Maybe do the ship stuff later. Who knows? We'll see. I've intentionally not been too ingrained into what's going on with this game intentionally, just because I just want to go into the game like knowing very little.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
You get to balance out my war crimes with your Paragon.
we're doing the throwdown balance.
Yeah. My thing is, again, you know, this is slightly tied to another question we have here. Like, I'll play it, but I don't know if I'm going to play it at launch. I'm just like, I don't know. I don't really want to get into a big game at that point. Like, I kind of want my big game to be Spider-Man, to be honest. You know, that's dropping in October. But I'll get to it eventually, you know. And just like Carlo, what happened, Brett?
What do you got on your plate until then? Like, what are you doing in...
To be honest, you know, I'm not talking about it too much, but I kind of just want to focus on this manuscript I'm working on, you know? That's why I haven't been playing any games. I played Final Fantasy 16, then I went right back to my shit, you know? So that's what I'm focusing on right now. But I'll take a break when Spider-Man and Cyberpunk come out. Those are probably going to be the big ones for me. And like Carlos, you know, that's how I mainly play my games, like Paragon, my main quests, and in between, like, the main quest, I'll do side shit. So by the end, I would have 100%ed everything, you know. The ship stuff, I'll probably build a ship, you know. But I don't know about like forts and shit, you know. But yeah, mainly focus on the main quest. I mean, that's how I play all these games anyway, you know. Like the main quest is the heart of it, and then whatever cool sites. Because I really like Bethesda side quests. I know those will be fun, and I know they're going to have a lot of cool sci-fi shit in them. But yeah, you know, I'll get to it when I get to it. This game I'll probably play during the winter, you know, when there's nothing else out. Because the thing is, like, the game drops in September, right? And then Spider-Man comes out in, like, October. I kind of don't want to rush Starfield to play Spider-Man, because I think this is going to be probably going to take me more than a month to play, especially the way I play now, because I can only play 2 hours a night on the weekdays. So this game's going to take me a while. I don't want to rush through it, so I'll wait, you know? Who else? Chris, are you going to be playing Starfield?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I'll definitely play it. I'll do what I normally do. Manny knows what I play Mass Effect. I'll be like, yeah. Searching every planet, like, make my captain's logs very carefully, looking at rocks.
Does that mean you're going to make Captain Kirk?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, there you go. Good stuff. Anyone else going to play?
James.
Yeah. Manny, you know, you could technically play it, but I know you probably
theoretically, won't. I do, because I do have the ultimate, so... I could play the PC version of the superior version of Starfield, which is on PC.
Yeah. What about you?
I also will be playing it. I finished the download for the preloading last week, I think on Friday. So I'm excited, and I'll be the one that just be doing the most random chaotic things. So yes, I'll be doing some space piracy. I won't be doing illegal organ harvesting since I don't agree with that personally. But Brett, you do you. I'll be joining the space cults, committing war crimes. Yep, and I will be going against the first directive. Anything that moves on a planet that I don't know about is being wiped off the face of the Earth. So, yeah.
Or at least that planet.
Yes, that is being wiped off the face of the planet. You know, it will stop existing.
Yeah.
Good. So, what's up? What was it? I was going to ask about this. That game doesn't have multiplayer, does it?
No.
Nope.
Bethesda, come on, what's wrong with you, man? Why don't you put no multiplayer in there?
Maybe they have Starfield Online, you know? I know Brett will like that.
It'd be cool. I just don't understand why in these games they don't let you multiplayer. I mean, they let you have a companion. Why can't that companion be your friend?
Let's just be real. Brett's not excited about this game. He's more excited about Starfield 76.
Okay.
Yeah. You guys got me.
All right. Next question here, also from Mr. Michael Santiago. Do you think the early access model that games like Starfield use is fair or scummy? I, for one, believe that the FOMO is almost making me feel forced to play extra. What does it mean, early access?
Yeah, what early access are you talking about?
Yeah, what are you talking about?
You can play like 6 days early, I want to say.
Oh, that was 5 days early.
I think other games have done that stuff, though.
What else?
Yeah, I think it's if you have like the top tier version, then you get like 5 days. You get to play it 5 days before everyone else.
Oh, I mean, EA was doing that shit. Like, remember, weren't they? Like,
yeah, they're doing that quite a bit. I think, yeah, they were doing it with like a few games. I don't remember which ones.
Yeah. I don't have a problem with it. Whatever.
Activision does.
You got 5 days to find out that the game is a piece of shit that you shouldn't.
Yeah, play, you get those influencers making videos. This game sucks. The start menu sucks. You know. You see that bullshit on Twitter. I'm telling you, every single big game that comes, every big exclusive that comes out, there's always some kind of gate with it. This gate is a start menu gate. So stupid. You know, but for yes or no, some asshole breaking embargo, you know, posted a like the start menu going, there's nothing happening on this start menu. What the fuck? This is indicative of how lazy this game is. So
Starfield.
You know that game that's like the most ambitious thing ever? It's super lazy.
Yeah. So yeah, that's what was going on this weekend on gaming Twitter. You know, that bullshit.
Well, I don't pay attention to gaming Twitter most of the time.
You know, go ahead, Brian.
No, yeah, neither do I. But then again, like it seemed like it was a very slow news day, so they have to be mad about something.
Yeah, I mean, some sites are even reporting on the fact that Paris had disappeared for a week.
Yep,
this game.
Yep, I'm telling man, people are fucked. This community, man, you know. You know, I was talking to somebody at an event. I will tell you about the event on Tuesday when the embargo lifts. Wednesday, I could tell you about it. And I kind of agree what he said. Like, the way the gaming community has been in the last couple of years, like, I'm almost ashamed to call myself a capital G gamer. So now I'm a lowercase G gamer, you know? Love me some games, but I can't be fucking with these dudes on Twitter, man. They're fucking crazy, you know?
Yo, man, those are all capital gamers.
Yeah, capital G, you know, like gamer, you know. It's like I don't know if I want to be associated with you guys, man. Bunch of toxic assholes.
It's all
the
caps for those making,
you know, bounce out of molehills with every fucking thing, you know.
To be fair, I never wanted to associate myself with gamers before.
It's a smart man. But you know what I'm saying, Carlos? Like, I don't want to be, like, lately, man. I mean, by lately, I'm talking about the last, like, 4 years. Like, yeah, these guys are fucking, I don't know.
I don't know. I guess I wasn't, you know, I never, like, I play games. I've never really considered myself a gamer, right, per se. So
yeah, logic wins goes.
I feel like when you say gamer, I feel like that's like an identity thing, and that's not, you know, gaming is not my identity.
Yeah, it's a good point. I'm a little G gamer. go ahead, Brad. Go ahead.
I don't know, man. I got game over across my knuckles. If you can't call me a gamer, I don't know that you can call anybody a gamer.
Nah, that's true. You're the good capital G gamer.
I call you committed.
Yeah.
I call you committed.
Gaming community. I don't know.
Does the other one have? I remember you had it on your fist, but like, what was the other one? Wasn't it like a Zelda one, Brett?
No, I got game over.
Oh yeah, all right, yeah.
There you go.
And then in the middle, I got the death mushroom.
Uh oh, dun 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 dun.
Nice.
See? Nice.
Good stuff. Anyway, okay, Logic wins quickly. He goes, I feel what Tony's saying, but I think the PS3 360 era is worse. Yeah, the height of the N4G days, people. You know?
Yep. M4G and Lens of Truth. Remember those motherfuckers?
Oh, I almost forgot about those guys. Oh my god.
Fanning the flames.
Lens of Truth. Holy shit. Yo, who in the chat remembers Lens of Truth, man? Those motherfuckers. Right? Oh my god. Yeah, that was pretty bad. But nowadays it's like kind of both is like you get the shitty gaming community and you get shitty games, so at least we had good games back then, you know? Anyway, let's move it on here. Oh, yes. Mr. Richard Bailey Jr. is asking us some questions.
Oh.
Yeah.
Junior?
Yeah, Bliss, you remember that shit, man? Lens of Truth. That bullshit. Yep. The backward digital foundry. Kishak, yep. Let's go, son. That's right, man. The fucking budget Dollar Tree digital foundry, you know? Mm-hmm. You find that shit in a fucking flea market, you know? anyway, Richard Bailey's first question. Starfield is marketed as a game for a very specific type of audience. What would your advice be for someone who has never played Fallout or Skyrim and may consider playing this game? Again, Brett, I'm looking at you.
I was going to say talk to Brett.
I'm looking at Brett right now. He's right there. Talk to him. You know?
No. I mean, in general, like, yeah. That's my advice. Talk to Brett.
Yes. go ahead.
So, okay, this game is not a game for very specific type of people. Like, that's I understand why you kind of may view that, but like, dude, Bethesda games are some of the most wide-reaching games you've ever played. You don't need to know anything. You don't need to have played one before. You don't need to be good at video games, man. Like, honestly, these games I've in my personal life dubbed these games the girlfriend games, right?
Yeah.
Any Bethesda game, if you are trying to here's a life hack. Does your girlfriend or significant other not play video games? Put a Bethesda game in their hands. They will. And I say this because I've watched like half a dozen girlfriends turn into full-fledged gamers. And it has something to do with it. It'll probably also be Starfield, but like either Skyrim or Fallout has a very specific way of easing you into game controls, right? And something about the switch between first person and third person. The girlfriends are always like, I'm not good at video games. I always get nervous and they get me kind of discombobulated. I'm not good with the first person. It makes me feel kind of nauseous. Whatever, put this game in their hand and be like, it's cool, just talk to some townspeople, wander around in third person, steal some stuff. I don't know why that's always the thing. And then you gotta go away and come back and you find them like getting kind of used to the controls and talking to people, you know, fleshing out the world. And then they'll go over in third person and like snap into first person, they can see a little bit better and like steal some shit, then snap back out of third person or snap back out of first person into third person and then go on their merry way. So they'll start switching back and forth between them, kind of getting used to moving through the world, interacting with people and things. Then you leave and you come back 2 weeks later, they're in first person mode, stealth sniping people, as either a fucking archer or like just VAT sniping people from the corner before just looting everybody. I'm not sure why it goes that way, but it just kind of seems to be the perfect mix of interest and difficulty. It doesn't push them in. It lets them, you know, slide in. And before they know that they're swimming, you know, they're doing all the video gamey type stuff. So these games are kind of the opposite of tough to get into and for a specific group of people. Man, they're for everybody, and they're so easy to get in that I've seen them make video gamers, like literally create video gamers, several times over. So if you're vaguely interested in shooting people and space stuff, pull the trigger. Most likely going to be happy.
Cool. Anybody else want to add anything to that? I think that was well said.
I generally agree with Brett, except for the part where he said for everyone. But for the most part,
as everybody as you can get, I feel like.
Yeah, like, I wouldn't say these are normie games, but they're pretty close to normie games. Like, you notice how, like, a lot of influencers, female influencers specifically, they play a lot of Skyrim, you know?
Those games have, like, a Sims type of vibe.
Yeah.
For, like, what they are. Especially being, like, first-person shooters.
But they're also not first-person shooters.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's a slice of life thing.
Yeah, you can. So, yeah, generally, I agree with everything Brett just said. All right, moving on here. Another one from Mr. Richard Billy Jr. The October game release schedule has had a few changes this past week. Aside from Spider-Man 2, which other October game do you think will sell very well that month? What changes is he talking about? Actually, let's look it up. What games are dropping
on? There was one game that moved away from that time slot, and I forgot what game it was because it didn't.
That moved away from October.
Yeah, because it didn't want to go head-to-head with the October releases. It was last week, I believe. Let me check real quick. Yeah, anyone in the chat?
Yeah, I'm reading this. I hate that Google is fucking giving me AI automated shit now. So take this how you will.
Oh.
Silent Hope, Cricket 24. Yeah, no, Silent Hope, that's a game. That's coming to PC and Switch. Cricket 24, Detective Pikachu Returns. Okay. Sword Art Online. They're still making Sword Art Online games?
Yes, they are.
Forza Motorsport. There you go. Big one. Assassin's Creed Mirage. Okay. Spider-Man. We know. Alan Wake. Oh, shit.
Assassin's Creed moved up.
Moved up. That's right. That's right. Yeah. Yep. City Sky. Okay. So it seems, fuck, October's crazy.
Alan Wake got pushed back.
It got pushed back.
Like,
10 days. October 27th here. Is that true,
Carlos? Yeah. Yes, it was. So it was supposed to come out October.
Kotaku, by the way, I'll leave my thoughts about Kotaku alone. I do like this headline. There are officially too many video games launching in October. So what happened when it? Oh, you're right. So Assassin's Creed was supposed to drop October 12th. Now it's coming out earlier than that, right, Carlos?
Yes.
Okay. And what's the one I got? Oh yeah, here it is. Alan Wake was supposed to drop October 17th, so now it's coming out on the 27th. It seems.
Hold on.
So
wait, does that make two video games this year that have moved their release dates forward?
What's the other one?
Baldur's Gate did it.
Did it?
Yeah, Baldur's Gate moved there. They moved it forward to actually get away from Starfield, ironically.
Oh, okay. So I guess that's two of them.
But cool. I so rarely hear of a video game pushing their release date forward. We always hear about delays. So rarely hear about it being pushed forward. And then that's two in one year, which is fucking weird.
Fuck. October stacked. Lords of the Fallen. Oh, that's right. I forgot they're remaking it or something like that. Or it's a sequel. I don't know. Remember that shit? Fucking Soulsborne ripoff?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Wait, that's real confusing. It has the same name.
That's the same name, yeah. Like, what the fuck?
Is it a sequel or are they just releasing the same game?
I don't, because they explain it, and I was still confused.
It's like a weird, like remastered sequel type thing. But the name, I think it's—I don't remember what it is. I think it's one is called Lord of the Fallen, another one is Lords of the Fallen, or something.
Is that what it is?
It's like a slight change of the name that sounds very similar, and it's annoying me.
By the way, Ace Ali brings up a good point, this is how it was. Baldur's Gate 3 was supposed to come out a week before Starfield, but it got the PC release got pushed forward, and the PS5 release got pushed back to the actual same date as Starfield.
Interesting. So yeah, I guess out of these games, which one do we think will sell well besides Spider-Man? Probably Assassin's Creed. Those games always sell well. You know,
Forza.
Forza, we don't know because it's on. It's going to be on Game Pass.
Alan Wake will be.
That should be. Pikachu will probably do well because Nintendo.
Because of Nintendo.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a isn't there a Cyberpunk Mario game coming?
Oh, there you go. Cyberpunk is September 26th. That's, I'm looking forward to that.
Oh, well, that's gonna do well.
Yeah. Okay, I'm definitely not gonna be playing no Starfield then because I want to wait for this shit. Again, I want to play Starfield when it's an open field. You know what I'm saying? Too many games. That's a good thing. I haven't said that this generation. There are too many games. I haven't said that at all this entire generation. It's nice that I finally say that again. You know.
That was also an unintended pun. Starfield, open field.
Yeah. Yeah, you know me, man. Mm-hmm. I come up with these puns without knowing it, man. I'm a secret genius. All right. What else is coming up? Star Ocean, whatever.
Spider-Man.
No.
Mortal Kombat.
Mortal Kombat's dropping in September. And Payday, whoever cares.
September.
About
that.
Woo.
I don't know who that'll ask for Payday.
Payday.
Payday 3 instead, yeah, it's instead three. Of 2?
Yeah, Payday 3, yeah. But 2 dropped a while ago, didn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that came out a while ago. Yeah.
There was one game where they skipped one.
Yeah, more? The GOAT game, they skipped the second one. They went right to 3.
It was GOAT. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Better question, what's coming up in the first quarter of 2024? Yakuza's coming out in November. Let's fucking go.
Oh, man, there's been too many games to even look at next year.
Yeah. All right, there's finally games coming. All right.
Bro, I've been saying that for a minute, though.
Oh, I know you have. I'm talking about for me. It's like I've been like, I'm dry, you know.
Bro, finally, I've been good. But by the time the end of this year rolls around, I'd be like, I've been just playing video games all goddamn year. It's weird, super weird.
Yeah, that's awesome. This has literally been my least gamey year of like ever, you know. But I think it's gonna end this year. By the end of this year, it's gonna all even out, you know. Because I typically end up playing about like 6 or 7 big games a year. And I guess, it's all going to even out by the end of the year. So we'll be all right. All right, let's move on here. What's the next question? Some sponsor questions. A very good fella by the name of Rami Death is sponsoring a question from Mob Hits and from Kiss Shack. So let's go with Kiss
Shack. Oh, what a nice guy.
Yeah, he's a great guy, man. First one for Mob Hits here. Do you guys think that the next generation will have a low-cost option similar to the Series S? With all the backlash this system gets along with your jab at the Nintendo Switch, will this low-cost option go away, forcing many to go to the expensive route? I think he's talking about PS5, maybe. They better not.
No, I think he's just saying they're going to give, like, a budget tier next generation, because they did this generation. It was...
Yeah, okay. I think you're
so right. Horrible.
Yeah. No, don't do that. Please don't
Brett,
do that.
Excuse me? It's not a budget tier. They just released the mid-gen refresh early.
Stupid. That's just a stupid statement from them, man. I hope they don't do that. No budget version. Just release the real version and stop with the bullshit. Look at the S. Piece of crap. Don't do that again, you know?
So here's my thing about that whole thing. Like, yeah, I agree with you guys 100%. Like, the budget option needs trimmed out from the bottom. And I would say they just kind of go like, look, if it's expensive, we have, you know, a $600 console. It is what it is. But like, I don't know, man. Like, there's some weird stuff going on in PC and PC hardware. The current generation, like, people are really mad at chip manufacturers right now. They're really mad at NVIDIA. They're really mad at AMD. And there's some pretty big backlash. I mean, I got my laptop for a fucking steal because people are so mad at the chip manufacturers. And then to put it unfairly simple, it's just that a graphics card that cost $700 last gen costs $1,200 this gen. Between like last year and this year, the base price for like 4070s has gone like from like $600 to $1,200 or something like that. Like everything has gone up and the community is not responding well. They're not buying stuff. They're pretty pissed. And so you're seeing a lot of really good deals on PC stuff way earlier than you should. But it's because apparently they've been milking their customer base for a hot minute and the customer base finally said fucking enough. So I don't even know that the high price point / kind of premium packet or premium product kind of thing is is gonna fly for PC for that long. And it, don't get me wrong, it's the chipsets, they are faster. They are, it's if you break down how much extra power you're getting for how much extra money you're getting, it's not obscenely upside down. But we find ourselves in a place where, you know, a fucking GPU costs $1,200. That shit cannot fly. It just can't. I don't care how good the GPU is.
Yeah, but this is specifically for consoles we're talking about.
No, I know, but I was saying next generation, like, I could see, if it weren't for this PC stuff, I could see them coming out next generation being like, all consoles are $600, deal with it, PC stuff up costs, you know, twice that. But that's kind of changing, so I don't know where am I the only one who thinks that the PC hardware market kind of dictates the price points that consoles can go at?
I don't think so. They're two different like markets, you know?
I mean, it's easier to pay for a $600 console when PCs cost $12.
Yeah, but it's always been like that. PCs have always been more expensive than consoles, you know? It's like one graphics card will cost more than a fucking console.
That's what I'm saying. So, like, if PC starts to focus more on price point and brings their prices down, will we still accept expensive consoles?
Again, it's two different markets, man. Like, console players are not looking at what PC's doing, you know?
I think they look at it as an alternative, but yeah.
I guarantee you half the guys in our chat don't give a fuck about that. You know?
I'm actually curious, guys in the chat. If you could buy a PC for the same price as your next console, and it would be more powerful, would you jump to PC gaming?
Yeah, all right. I'll leave that question open. We'll move on here and I'll come back to that. Another one, sponsor one from Kishak here. There's a popular tweet that always comes around cyclically in the gaming space that goes like, I want shorter games with worse graphics made by people who are paid more to work less. And I'm not kidding. What do you guys think the average consumer's reaction would be if that were to happen? Shorter game with worse graphics? I've never heard this before. Who says this shit?
Yeah, I haven't heard that before.
What are you getting?
Are you serious?
They don't. Yeah. Like they say games are too long. Like the games are too
gamers
long.
Gamers, I've heard like Sean Layden say something like this, but like a gamer say this?
They have not said it like that. They've said it in the Brian will explain.
Yeah, this. Brian, please explain.
Oh no, I thought Brett's going to explain it, but I've heard like Yahtzee saying it a few times.
Well, I haven't heard this guy say it for like 10 years.
Okay, fair enough.
That shit, you know.
Yeah, like, but it's just like a general trend because the second tide of games that are just bloated and too long, and that devs don't get paid enough. So yeah, and I'm just surprised that you guys haven't heard of it.
I've heard the game devs aren't paid enough. Like I've heard the last half of this, but I never heard I want shorter games with bad graphics.
Nobody says I want shorter games with bad graphics. Like,
but that's what the question says.
Yeah.
Okay. What they mean by bad graphics isn't like bad. It's just don't put so much of an emphasis on the graphics as games do now, because they're pushing a boundary that for the most part they just can't keep up with, because they're just reaching a point now where so much of a game is just so focused on the graphics that there's nothing else in there. So hence, you end up with games that are just stretched out too long to mean anything, and hence the game just sort of falls apart. And I think that's what they mean. They don't mean like bad as in, oh, they want it to look like a PS2 game. Like, no, they just mean that don't focus so much on the graphics that it becomes a detriment to the whole game.
Like, we've had this conversation on Throwdown. I know that, right? But yeah. I've never heard it on Twitter. I always hear the reverse. I want bigger games with better graphics. That's what I hear
bigger
on Twitter.
Bigger games, better graphics. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I hear people saying things all the time like games are too big.
Well, yeah, I would agree that
a like lot yeah of again I've heard that over, yeah I'm sorry man yeah, like I've heard that in Throwdown that within our like gaming sphere, like, you know, I'm talking about other journalists and stuff, other enthusiasts like us, but like gamers like on Twitter, again, anecdotal obviously, but again, it's just I want bigger games, more graphics, you know, that's what I hear. But anyway, go on, Manny.
To be honest, it's like. Yeah, like I don't think I've ever heard that ever used with a game with gamers in general. I mean, Yahtzee is a, you know, an influencer. He's a little bit different bag, but you know, because he has to play a bunch of different games and do reviews on. So if he can get through, you know, 10 6-hour games, he's good to go, right?
Yeah, I know. I personally, I would, I wouldn't mind shorter games, but I don't want to sacrifice graphics.
I do.
No fucking way, you know.
Same. I do think, like, I do think that shorter games, I would like to see more shorter games, and I do see a lot more shorter games. I feel like Spider-Man, you know, was a pretty, like, in comparison to a lot of the things, other things that are on the market, is a relatively short game, and it didn't feel that bloated because of the you know, because of you know, what I call open world isms, you know, where they still like to waste your time to try to extend the game length.
Yeah, 23-25 hours to plat. That's not bad, you know.
That's not bad. I mean, like, even you know, I love to have a 6-hour game, but I think also, like, the thing about it is it's got to be all relative. So, okay, if you're spending, if you're shooting for the 6-hour or, you know, whatever hour mark, theoretically your game should probably look at least, you know, because you could at least spend a lot more within, you know, trying to make your game polished. That's usually how it goes, isn't it? You know, the games that are shorter usually have a lot more polish in the visual side, but, you know, as far as the game, you know, as the game size, it's usually legible play, right? Hey, it does what it's supposed to do and it gets out. Now, with bigger games, you know, like open world games, usually those games are the games that are considered to have, you know, not such great graphics, but the sheer amount of things that you could do in that game with a selling point. So take Skyrim. Like, Skyrim looks like a piece of shit. It looked like a piece of shit then. But the big thing about that game is how much you could do in that game.
Yeah.
Same thing with the Grand Theft Auto series until, like, the later ones, you know, the more recent ones. But they're still not the most high-end graphics that you could see in that type of game. They're usually focused on the open world itself. Everything else, not the graphics so much.
So my only question is, like, if that's the kind of take or the angle that we're responding at it from, like, where does the whole devs need paid more fit into that viewpoint?
The devs getting paid more thing, it has to do with overtime and how much it takes to make one of those crazy, stupidly long games, right? You know, how much they need to crunch, how much, because, you know, again, there's no, the thing is that, like, devs do get paid relatively well, but they also don't get paid with the amount of overtime a dev does. It doesn't equal up to the amount, you know what I mean? Like, in other words, you're not getting, like, if it's in your contract to say, okay, yeah, we have crunch within our things, that means that you're spending hours working on this game and you're not even getting paid for it. That's not right.
I would agree with that, but, like, I don't think it's, I think the nature of the question isn't so much, Tony, that people are saying, like, I want all of these things directly. Like, I don't think anybody is saying, I want a shorter game with worse graphics. I think what they're saying is games feel like they've gotten too long, or graphics feel like they've gotten too focused on. Like, it's kind of the inverse.
Yeah.
It's all about the scope of your game, man. Like, if you're going in and you're saying, I want to make this game that looks like that's like on the level of, let's say, I don't know, the God of War game, with has the fidelity of one of those games, and we have a massive open world, something's got to give, you know? And that give is what happened with Cyberpunk, right?
Yeah.
They're literally trying to hit as many check marks as possible with that game. Open world, does all this stuff, and they couldn't hit any of it because the scope was so messed up.
Yeah. So, Brett, like I was saying, I've heard this conversation among our peers, right, in the game industry, but I haven't heard it among gamers themselves. That's what I'm trying to say.
Well, repeat the question for me. Like, there was something very telling in the way that the question was kind of worded.
Okay. And also keep in mind, I actually didn't edit these, so it's how it is. There's a popular tweet that always comes around cyclically in the gaming space that goes like, I want shorter games with worse graphics made by people who are paid more to work less, and I'm not kidding. What do you guys think the average consumer's reactions would be if this were to happen?
I think that there's a lot of grandstanding. I think that there's a lot of look at my Halo bullshit. That I think that a lot of people want to sound like they're being the most reasonable person on Twitter by kind of being contrarian. So I think that if you actually got games that were shorter and worse graphics, but the developers got treated humanely, like, honestly, at the end of the day, I don't think it matters how great the developers were treated or how much you like the politics of a game studio. If your game fucking sucks, it fucking sucks, and you're going to hate it either way.
Yeah, this doesn't feel like something gamers say. It sounds like something Jason Schreier would say. And
yeah, it sounds like something people in the industry say. I've heard that. I have heard people in the industry say this, but I haven't heard gamers say this. So to answer the question, how would gamers take it if they get short games or worse graphics? They won't take it very good. I'll tell you, they'll be very pissed off if that were to happen. You know, they would not be happy at all. Go ahead, Chris.
Well, it's also a self-defeating philosophy, like you guys said. Nobody's going to, once you get bad word of mouth, the sales fall, right? Yep. So you're not making any money. And if you're not making money, you can't pay these guys better. You won't pay them at all. They actually get laid off. You studio shutter for stuff like this, right? So having this philosophy, it's like, oh, we'll just make worse games and pay these guys more for doing less work. That doesn't make any sense to begin with. But then if they have a product that doesn't sell, then they won't have a job to be, you know, at the end of the day. So this whole thing is just a self-defeating philosophy, right? It's like, oh, well, they deserve more wages, and then we'll just get worse games because they work too hard. Yeah, but a worse game won't sell. And then their studio will fail, and then they won't have work.
Yeah. All right. Moving on here. Now to Kishak's official questions here. Is anyone excited for Black Myth Wukong? There's a new gameplay trailer of it where people are actually playing it, and that it was a Steam and it has a Steam page. Seems like that it's not vaporware. So I expect many crows to be served to people who thought it was vaporware. I haven't heard people say this game is vaporware. I've never heard that conversation.
And the one that's vaporware, that's true vaporware, is that abandoned piece of shit thing.
That's vaporware. That's
vaporware.
Yeah. Even Star Citizen is more real than fucking abandoned, you know?
I mean, at least people are playing fucking Star Citizen.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. despite literally putting everybody on a payment plan until that game comes out.
Yeah.
But
as for Wukong, I haven't seen the new trailer for it. But as soon as we all saw that first trailer, we're like, yeah, give me this shit. It looks fucking dope, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know, you know, if anybody's opinion on this panel has changed, but mine hasn't. Yeah. I want to check this game out.
It looks like a fun game.
Yeah. Like, even though I, like, you know, what was it? Because it's based off the Monkey King story, right?
Yep.
So, yeah.
Monkey King story, yeah.
Yeah, looks cool. It looks cool, you know? So I'll check it out. I got to check out the new trailer.
You know what's funny about the Journeys to the West story? It's public domain. It's like a lot of things. You could literally you can literally make your own.
Manny, you do the art.
Yeah, I'll do Tony the writing. You know,
Chris will be our CFO.
You know, Brett will be marketing. You know,
he'll be marketing.
Maybe Adam. I want marketing.
Adam would be marketing. I'm
not gonna sell anything, you know.
Or well, I mean, I would say like it'd be a toss up for be both Adam and Brett because they both
they're both hype guys. Yeah.
Yeah. No, put Adam in charge of the emails, man.
Yeah.
Email
the newsletters.
Well, isn't that part of promotion? So like
it is. Yeah.
You know, he's opening up to the public, like, hey, we got this great game.
I got to tell you guys a quick story. Because last week I went to Adam's family's house and shit. So one of his neighbors that he's known for decades, right? You know, another tech head, you know, he was like, oh, you know, I don't really play games anymore. There's really nothing that excites me. And I was like, hold up, man. You know, Adam goes upstairs, comes back with the Steam Deck, extols its virtues on it, about it and stuff. And then by the end, the neighbor's like, all right, I think I'll get this thing now. And like, Adam's like the best salesman. Yeah, I'm so fucking in the backyard hugging this. Like, oh, I love it. I love it.
Yeah, I feel like the salesman is in his DNA because his pop is a salesman. He's worked in sales for years. So I could see, you know, it's just in there. He knows how to sell it to you. He can get you excited for something.
Yeah.
I always said that Adam could sell you a piece of shit and you would be so excited to have it.
Oh, man. Yeah, I'm pretty sure Adam sold his fair share of Steam Decks, you know.
Yeah, I mean, he used to be honest, also, Adam used to did work as a, you know, at like a, well, software, etc. before it became GameStop, and he did work at a skate place in New York. So yeah. he knows himself some sales.
So, yeah, good stuff. Yeah, Wukong, let's go.
Yeah, let's get some Wukong. That's all, that's good. I mean, Wukong, right? You know, like a lot, I hear that studio is pretty much built of all the people that make make all the stuff in video games that the main devs don't want to do. They're announced
they're middleware guys.
Yeah, there were a bunch of outsourced people, like, you know, people who just made outsourced like assets for games. So
is it finally, a Chinese?
Yes, it's a Chinese studio. So
interesting.
You know, it might be collecting your data. I'm kidding.
Yeah. Oh man. All right.
But I remember one thing about they said they wanted to do, because they had worked on so many like MMOs and all kinds of other stuff, at least early on. They said they wanted to actually do like a single player sort of game instead of doing assets for one of those MMO type games.
Yeah.
So they wanted to do that. So That's cool.
All right. Next question for Mr. Kishak. Would you guys be excited or disappointed if the next PlayStation console was a hybrid like the Switch? If they were to do that, I imagine it would sell much better in Japan than previous consoles. But would the general gaming community be happy if PlayStation waived the power race to support portability? Yeah, I wouldn't be happy at all if they did that shit.
Yeah, like, no.
Fuck that.
No.
You know?
No. Fuck it, that it, would, shit. It might be different if they ever launched a successful handheld, but like, no.
Yeah, don't.
I think to be honest, I think that they're part of their business cycle is the fact that they're always, you know, they're close to cutting edge or cutting edge. You know what I mean? I feel like the minute that Sony would do anything like that, then they would start to, then the community would start to essentially backlash against them. Like, what are you doing? You know, something like that. Why did you do this?
Oh, dude, even more than that, the second they come out with it, like, check it out, we made a system. It could be more powerful, but we kind of had to bottleneck a little bit to get into this really awesome form factor. Mm-hmm. Microsoft would immediately be like, ours is more powerful. We made a stronger one. We did it. That's us now. Like, dude, they're producing the premium video game console experience, and the second that they don't, there are people nipping at their heels to try and take that place. So not only... Mm-hmm. Would they not do that? They should not and could not do that. It'd be a terrible idea. That'd be the way they'd lose their market advantage. Possibly the only way that they lose their market advantage.
Yeah, I feel like in general, like, they have their way of doing it. Xbox has their way of doing it. You know, I feel like, you know, Nintendo has their way of doing it. For them to essentially throw all that out of the window to essentially make, you know, like old PlayStation games, PlayStation 3 games, which is what they would be making, or, you know, maybe I guess it would be PlayStation 4 games on a console. Yeah, I feel like they wouldn't go backwards to something like that. Granted, it would definitely be development costs would definitely be a lot cheaper, you know, because they're not working in four, you know, maybe we'll just say that they're working in 4K because the system actually working in 4K, you know, and everything console will be like 8K in the future. But yeah, I don't think they would ever cut their stuff like that. But then again, Sony does like to toe dip. So,
there you go, man.
Yeah, Project Q.
There's a toe dip.
There's the toe dip into handhelds, but not.
Yeah, go ahead, Brett.
Sony. Oh, go ahead.
They wouldn't even release an equivalent like another option. Like, they wouldn't release it as part of their system. Like, they wouldn't even say you could have a PlayStation 6 and then take your PlayStation 6 games on the go with this portable handheld, because then it would tie them to a lower powered console, kind of like the X has right now with the Series S, and it would limit their ability to put out high fidelity content on their primary system. So not only would they not do it for their primary system, they wouldn't even do it along with their primary system, I don't think.
Yeah, no, they wouldn't do that. That'd be fucking suicide. All right, moving on here. Dumeke. Got two questions here. Blitz is also joining us in the chat. He's also Dumeke. He has two names. The man with two names. First one here. With all these huge AAA games releasing this year, are there any smaller, less high-profile games you're looking forward to? We actually were asked this question like 2 or 3 months ago, and we kind of didn't come up with an answer, so I'll ask it again. Maybe things have changed. And Brian, I don't think you were on that show that time, so maybe you have an answer.
I think we made reference to Brian's, like,
I think we did say, like, if Brian was there, he'd have something. Because all of us were just like, you know? So, Brian, do you have any smaller games that you're looking forward to this year?
Funny enough, I actually just finished one that I was looking forward to, and it turned out a lot better than people said it was. Atlas Fallen, small game by Deck 13, the guys that are doing Lords of the Fallen. I think that's the same team. Don't quote me on that. Yeah, it came out like a couple of weeks ago, and it's actually just really fun game. Again, it's what we're talking about. It's a shorter game. It's a nice small action game, really good combat, and yeah, it was what I was expecting, which is just really good. Other games, the only thing on my radar now is just Starfield at this point. I don't have anything else. Most of my other games came out early on this year, so like stuff like Wanted Dead, like came out in January, I think, or February. I really cannot think of any other small games. Maybe Brett might be able to.
I have
fill
one
in that void.
I have one. I got tipped about a certain game, saying that with pretty good praise, it's called Sea of Stars, comes out on August 29th. I might catch that game. I don't know if you guys remember Sea of Stars.
Can't recall.
Yeah. Wait, Sea of Stars? Is that the one with David Hayter in it?
Oh no,
that's the VR game. Wrong one.
Yeah, so that game got announced like in a Summer Games Fest like a few years ago or something. Yeah. Heard good things about it, so hopefully when it comes out, might catch it. But yeah, I don't know who else is interested, but let me know if you are.
In Power World supposed to come out this year?
Power World?
Pal World.
I don't know if it's this year, but it's meant to be soon.
I know it was 2023. I get the feeling that might be being pushed back.
Well,
Power World, Pokemon with Guns.
Oh, the Pokemon with Guns game. Oh, I don't know when that one's coming out. That's.
I'm pretty sure it was supposed to be 2023.
Maybe it was, but on the Steam page it says January 24.
Okay.
I forgot what spell the name, and I just looked up Pokemon with, and then the first Pokemon with Guns got auto generated real quick.
Oh,
dude, people are stoked about this game.
Okay, so Sea of Stars, it's pretty much Secret of Mana.
Yeah, it's a top down RPG, like old school.
Yeah. Looks good. All right. Unless anybody else has any more entries. Move on here.
Okay. Go ahead, Brian. I actually do have like a list as well. So,
do it. Yeah. See, Brian, I knew you wouldn't let me down, man. You know, literally last time we were asked this question, it was just fucking crickets, you know?
Now, keep note that on this list are games that I've written down, and these are the ones that said they had a 2023 date. So I have no idea if these are even coming out anytime soon or even delayed or not. And keep note that when I wrote this down, I was interested in the game, but now I don't even remember what these games are. Yep. And that's why I had this list.
Fair enough.
Brian, so I'll read these names.
Real quick before you move on, Carlos Sea of Stars, deck verified. So there you go.
Is it good on me?
Anyway, go on, Brian.
So that means that I'm going to read out these names and I'll sound confused, but that's the reason why. First one is Dead Static Drive. Don't know. Then there's Pacific Drive. I think that's the one with the guy driving through the storm in first person.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I like that. It's like in under something, and there's like Lovecraftian stuff happening, and he's driving his station wagon through it.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I don't even know how to pronounce this one. It's Lysfanger? The Time Shift Warrior. Okay, so that's like a 2D. I think that's the 2D thingamajig.
I remember that game. That's the game where it's you basically run a time trial with yourself.
Yes.
So like in racing games, when like you have the ghost of the previous lap that you did, so like you go through, you do something, you rewind, and then you have the ghost of the thing that you just did happening, so that you can do something alongside of it. So if like you have to kill two guys, you go kill the guy on the right, rewind, and then your echo goes to kill the guy on the right while you go kill the guy on the left. It's actually a really cool approach to games and has kind of a Portal feel to me in terms of, like, puzzle-solving-ness. I do remember that, and that's what I do remember about that game. So that's the part of my brain I haven't smoked away. You're welcome.
And then the last one is Grand Blue Fantasy Relink. Ooh. Again, don't know what game that is, but that's a game. I don't know
any of those games you just listed.
Well, at some point, they'll come out and I'll talk about them. Hmm. Right, yeah, this is old as hell. I have like some titles on there that I've played. It's weird. I have Metro Exodus on this list. That's how old this list is.
Oh, god damn.
Yeah, I have Indivisible on this list, Tony. That's how old this list is.
Damn.
Exactly.
Shit.
I have Sunset Overdrive on this list.
Jesus. Oh, dear Lord. You need to update that shit.
But then that's the whole point. Like, the whole thing is just like a list that I just keep track of any game that crossed my mind, and I'm like, oh yeah, this game looks good. Hey, Project Eve is on this list. Where is that game? Okay, yeah, that's me.
Yeah. All right. Good stuff. And another question for Mr. Tumeke. Are there any big games this year that you are interested in but have decided to skip or at least leave to a later date because your gaming time is already committed to something else? I already said at the top of the show, I'm going to wait until like December play Starfield. I kind of just want a clean slate for that. So I'll wait for that. But I will definitely play it for sure. And I do still want to play Baldur's Gate at some point as well. You know, I want to get to those. But I'm doing other stuff at the moment, and then there's other games coming out. Like Cyberpunk is probably going to be where I go back into gaming at late September. But yeah, so Baldur's Gate and Starfield. I'm still debating whether I should play Baldur's Gate on PC or PS5. I want to wait for Digital Foundry. I'll let them do the Lord's work, and we'll see what happens.
Tony, you know? Played on PC.
Yeah, because of the Steam Deck. I have that option.
I have played it on, but with both controller support and keyboard and mouse support, and I can tell you.
Oh, I'm not going to play with. I wouldn't play with keyboard and mouse anyway. You know, fuck that shit.
What? Okay.
I'm not playing with that shit. I hate keyboard and mouse. You know.
All right. Well, for everybody else, it plays way better on keyboard and mouse.
Yeah, ugh, fuck that. You know.
Yeah, bro. That's the way I prefer to play those types of games.
Oh, it's not even the way I prefer to play the games. Honestly, I prefer to play them with controller. I'm telling you. It works better with keyboard and mouse, like 110%. It's designed to work with keyboard and mouse. They found a way to put it on controller, but it feels right with keyboard and mouse.
Yeah. So that makes me even more curious how it's going to work on a console then. You know, like I wonder if they had to.
It'll work on console. Again, I played it with controller support, but again, I would rather click on something once than dive through three radio menus to get to it. It's just quality of life kind of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's fair enough.
And it's unavoidable because you're working with a controller that has less buttons, but get ready to deal with radio menus.
Yeah, that's fine. Yakuza's dropping. Man.
Bro, I'm going to have to push off. And I'm really not happy about this. I'm going to have to push back Armored Core.
Uh-oh.
I know, right? Like, it's not an online game, so it's more like Sekiro. So, like, there's no immediate online rush or Wave, which I think is not a great idea for FromSoft. Like, people like your multiplayer games. The fact that you didn't make a multiplayer is going to make it more of a slow burn for people like me, exactly. Like, okay, so in this huge thing of games, I'm in no rush to pick this up and play this because there's no kind of groundswell of player base. So
I don't think that's... I heard that it was going to have PvP.
I think it might have some PvP, but it doesn't have co-op, which is... an odd choice. But, I mean, I definitely look forward to giant robot PvP, but I'm just saying, there's not going to be that groundswell of players, so I'm not... I can manage to push it back a little bit. I'm also really excited about Cyberpunk, but I waited 10 years for it to come out, and then another, 3 years for it to be complete? I can wait another little 6 months before I play it.
Hmm.
And I'm on the opposite of Tony with this one. Sorry, Spider-Man. I think you're getting booted to next year.
Uh-oh.
That's not a surprise.
That's not a surprise.
Yeah, I mean, you're playing really, these massive games, so...
And, I mean, don't get me wrong. I fucking love Spider-Man. Love that shit. But, like, bro, Starfield. Come on.
Spider-Man's like, Starfield, but I'm Spider-Man.
Yeah, what about the rest of you guys? What games are you putting off?
Again, just add to Brett's point, like, and that's kind of the thing, like, it is just Spider-Man, like, you know what you're getting. So, you know, like, whereas, like, with stuff like Starfield, you don't, well, you kind of know what you're getting, in that it's a Bethesda game, but then you don't know is going to be good, it's going to be bad. And again, with Brett, we know that he's a big fan of Bethesda games. Yeah. So it makes sense.
I got one.
Uh-oh.
All right. I'm ready to turn, what do you call it? Turn the house down. Spider-Man.
Oh, you're actually going to put that off?
It comes when he's going to be on his trip. So.
That's why. Yeah. Yeah, during your trip. That's right.
Now, are you going to delay it beyond your trip?
We'll see.
For Elden Ring.
Eventually. I did come back for Elden Ring. But to be fair, you know, I had you lovely folks waiting for me to be like, welcome back.
Yeah. See, with Spider-Man, you can just play whenever, you know, because it's not multiplayer, you know. That's the beautiful thing about it. After Final Fantasy 16, that's my most hyped game of the year. So I will definitely be playing that shit day one, you know.
I also don't think Spider-Man is going to have a lot of spoilers. I mean, you may have some base game spoilers, but like, I'd be more afraid in terms of like Starfield, like people showing you videos of like, check out this crazy world I found. You're like, God damn it, I was going to find that. So as kind of Brian put it like this, there's more spoilable about Starfield. With the Spider-Man game, you know what you're getting.
Yeah, and then, you know, Spider-Man comes out the 20th, so I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, essentially 5 days to beat it before I leave. So, so I might give it a chance, but it might be a casualty. So who knows?
You gonna try and beat it in 5 days?
Yes.
Oh, okay. All right.
We'll see what's going on during that time. If nothing's too hectic, then I'll give it a go. But if I got other things going on, then I'll probably just put it on ice.
Yeah. All right. Anybody else leaving any games for later? Chris, are you going to be doing that?
Well, I want to play Spider-Man immediately. So, yes. I mean, and I also want to play Armored Core immediately. So maybe Starfield gets pushed for me.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll get to Starfield eventually.
Yo, man, fuck Starfield. That's start screen, man. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, right. That bullshit start screen, you know?
Literally unplayable. Come on.
Yeah. What is this?
Ruins the game.
Yeah. All right. And the final question of the night here. C. Iverson, what are you guys' thoughts and expectations for Warhammer Space Marines? Is anyone
hyped
for
none.
This? Yeah, I had none.
Yeah. I literally had none.
Yeah, I don't have any. I don't know anything about War. I just know of Warhammer, but I've never like dived into it, so
I played the old one. It was kind of like Gears.
Yeah,
it's like Gears with Warhammer all over it, and I didn't know what was happening because I don't know anything about the Warhammer 40K universe.
Yeah, I don't
know. Dude, it was just cool. Gears' older brother.
You don't need to know much about the universe. All you need to know is that there are aliens and they shouldn't exist. And that's it.
Yeah, that's all. That's all you do is like you brutally murder like aliens. You have a gun and you had a sword that was kind of like a chainsaw. It was like a chainsaw sword. Oh.
It's basically
the Crusades but in space. that's actually a really good analogy. Yes,
Kat, I like I that, Brian.
Yeah,
it's Grimdark world. All you got to do, all you have to know is there is no hope. Move forward.
Yeah. All I know about Warhammer is like dudes with like big armor and little heads, but the dudes are big. It's weird.
All right. We're moving into embarrassing territory now.
Like, that's literally all I know. It's they're huge. Armor, they got little heads, but the guys are actually big, you know?
All right. Okay. Story time. Warhammer is the predecessor to everything Warcraft and Starcraft ever did. Any idea that you're like, hey, Starcraft had a cool idea, it's because it fucking came from Warhammer. Hmm. Warhammer's been around for fucking ever. The art style, the placement, everything like even the giant 8-foot-tall humans with hands that could palm a basketball that Blizzard does, that shit came from Warhammer. Your giant Gears of War chainsaw sword fucking grunts murdering aliens, that also came from Warhammer. Not even disguised a little bit, just straight up, ripped out and stolen. So, like, I get a little defensive here because I'm like, bro, this is the granddaddy. This is the progenitor. This is where all of this shit came from. We show fucking respect when we talk about Warhammer around here.
Fair enough. Showed my ignorance, man. What can I say? I don't know anything about Warhammer.
It's the biggest thing I like about Warhammer is it's 100% unapologetic grimdark, right? Like, there is no like political correctness. It's like the opposite of political correctness. Like, you're a human. You have to fight these aliens. You're like, okay, cool. Why? It's like, well, because you're undying emperor of a god that sits on a throne that literally eats the souls of people. He needs 1,000 souls sacrificed to our living god emperor every day so that he can maintain his state of quasi-undeath and push his army of giant genetically and physically augmented space marines to just literally murder everything else with like no care or right, like unjudiciously just murder everywhere. And you kind of like so we're not the good guys, like, oh, you sweet summer child. There are no good guys in the Warhammer universe. The closest you get to a good guy is, again, a medical abomination fighting for the continuation of a perverse, undeath, eternal emperor. Like, it's just, everything's bad. Just go with it. The thing I love the most about the Warhammer universe, though, is the fucking orcs. The orcs are absolutely beautiful. They are so dumb. And they are so strong in psionic force, they don't even know. Like, the orcs build giant spaceships and cross the stars, but the spaceships don't actually fucking work. They are just so dumb that their collective belief that a spaceship works is what actually powers it to work. So none of their technology actually works. All of their technology is just, like, a bunch of wires thrown into a box and a button on it. But through their collective belief that pressing that button will make something explode, they manifest reality so that when somebody presses that button, something fucking explodes. It is the most black comedy bullshit I have ever seen, and I'm fucking here for it. I love it. The Warhammer orcs, best thing ever.
You know what, Brett? I actually learned something very recently, that the reason why they wear or like red and have everything in red is that they believe that red makes it go faster. And I was like, this is awesome. I love this universe.
And the funny thing is, it does. Making things red does make them go faster if it's with the orcs. Just because everybody believes red makes stuff go faster. So, you know, I'm telling you, if you haven't dived into the Warhammer universe, you're in for a treat, especially in the modern day place that we live in where everybody is, you know, like fucking Blizzard. Like, every side is, there's no evil side. People are just misunderstood. Meanwhile, Warhammers are here being like, no, everybody's evil. Everybody's evil. There is no such thing as good. Nobody's misunderstood. They're all just evil.
All right, cool. All right, that is it for us, man. Another good show, another good show, another good show. Do we have anything to plug around here?
Not anything over here.
Yeah, slow summer, man. Slow summer.
So, it's the end of the summer. We got Gamescom, and got
Tokyo Game Show coming.
We got Tokyo Game Show. We got PAX West, which you'll be hearing about from me in a little bit. We got a little bit of things coming. So hopefully there'll be a little bit of news at the end of the year.
Yes. Yeah, we'll have some stuff as always. All right, that's it for us. Make sure you follow Throwdown on Twitch and Twitter. Join the Discord where the conversations and the rumors are always popping. You can find us on any podcast app. What's up, Carlos?
Mighty Nerd, TMNT Shredder's Revenge DLC is August 31st. We forgot to mention that one.
Go.
and appreciate the shout out from the team there for giving my iteration of Turtles a nice little shout out. Well, all iterations of the Turtles got a nice little shout out. All the colorways that you can get in that game all are tributes to all the different iterations. So you got TMNT 03, you got Rise of the TMNT, and you got a couple of other really cool ones too. So
shout out to the iterations.
Yeah, shout out to them iterations.
There you go. Anyway, follow Throwdown on all the socials, links to everything down below. Once again, I was your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I was joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you next time.
Chris Seeley.
Hey, take care, everyone.
Carlos Romero.
Peace out.
Brett Murdoch.
Go by Baldur's Gate. Go fuck a bear.
And Brian Monjoma.
People, it's just a menu screen. Please calm down.
Man. pure crazy. Oh, Manny,
it's unacceptable, yeah. Brian.
Yeah, Manny, Jay Shep wants to know about the PO box, so I guess you could talk to him after the fact.
Oh yeah, I'll send her the text. Yeah, I have a PO box all set up. So if you want to, one thing I would say, if you do decide to want to ship to send over your versions of TMNT 03 Ultimate Collection, just send up the. You know, just send the paper. You know, the not don't send the whole DVD set. Just send the, you know, the little, you know, the little the insert for the DVD set.
Yeah, good
know?
Point. So, don't send the whole DVD.
Yeah, know? Don't say you know. Yeah, yeah. Just send the cover, and I'll do you up something.
Yeah. So, all right, people. We'll be back on Thursday. Later.
Peace.
Latest.